It is well, it is well. God. I love Hymn Sunday. You know, growing up as kids, our family used to sing hymns on Sunday night, and it was kind of neat because there's a depth and a richness to our heritage as believers. And when we realize that, you know, we have 2,000 years of Christian heritage and history, and God has been faithful in the past, He will be faithful again, and it's comforting when you read those lyrics and you realize the same message, you know, the same message throughout all of those. And my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. It is well with my soul. And no matter what our past looks like, no matter what we've come through, no matter what we've done or committed in the past, we can still be cleansed, and that offer is true today, just as true as it was, you know, in the early 1900s, early 1800s, early, you know, 1700s. It's still true today, and our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So beautiful. Praise God. Well, last week we heard from my brother Tori, and he did just an awesome job, and we're grateful that he could be here. I'm grateful that my dad could be here. It's talking about coming a heritage, you know. My family have just a great heritage as well.
Yeah, I want to thank Tori for filling in today.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday school.
Yeah.
He was really, to me, I know for me it was really helpful.
Yeah, it was. It was really great. So, appreciate that. And so, let me just pray before we go to the Word. And then my dad will come up and speak. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for our heritage, our history, God. We thank you that we have such an awesome history, an awesome past. We can see the finger of God upon the church throughout history, Lord. And we thank you not only that we have a history, Lord, but that we have a future. And God, just as certain as your faithfulness was in the past, God, it will be certain in the future as well. That there are no ripples or wrinkles in your goodness, God, but that your goodness and your mercy is new every morning, and it's always perfect and full, God. You don't have good days and bad days. You are who you are. From eternity past to eternity future, God, you are. And we just come to marvel at you this morning, Lord. And God, I pray that you would enlarge our vision of what you can do in this world, Lord. God, I pray that we would not become fixated on the reports of news agencies or just we see bad things happening in the world around us. God, I pray that we would just become fixated on what you are doing through the church around the world. And that our hearts would be lifted up and encouraged, God. And Lord, I pray for my dad as he comes to speak. God, I pray for just your anointing to rest upon him. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would move through him, God, and that our hearts, our minds, and our lives would be transformed because of this, Lord. Holy Spirit, do what mere words cannot do. Bring heart change. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. It's a privilege to be here with you today. I was talking about heritage. I was just reminded we were at one of these, you know, heritage village things one time, you know, where you walk through and see how people used to do it in old times. We're walking along, and Tori was when he was young. He was way ahead of the rest of us, which is usually typical of Tori. And anyway, someone asked him, "Are you lost?" He says, "No, I'm here with my ancestors." So one of his ancestors is going to share with you today. It is a privilege to be here, to spend time with family. We have had a chance this week to be together with Eric and Tori. We don't see Tori all that much in Africa. He's usually here, there, and everywhere. So we don't see him that often. Also, now Bethany arrived last night, so we have a few days together with her as well. And we met Makana for the first time. So it's been a great time together with family. And it's also good to be with their extended family, with all of you. And as you love them and are kind to them, you're also kind to us. Thank you. Thank you for being kind to them. This is our first time here to Hawaii. It's a beautiful place. It reminds us a lot of Africa. We have lots of the same fruit that you have here, weather similar to, not quite as cold as here, but maybe if we came in July or August, it would be more like Africa. But we've been enjoying Hawaii, enjoying being together with family. I don't think we will be very frequent guests in that we live on the other side of the world. If you go west from here, we are 11 time zones. If you go east, we are 13 time zones. And where we live in Tanzania, but if the other countries, we live in Tanzania, but we also work in Burundi and Rwanda and the Congo. And those countries are in 12 hours from here. And so we're way on the one side of the Tanzanian time zone and right near the other one. So I think we're probably about on the other side of the world from Hawaii. So Eric sprouted wings and went as far as he could from his ancestors. This is Mission Sunday, and it was said we don't have a report from the missionaries. And so some others have asked for a report about what we do. So I'll give you a little brief report before we get into the word, okay? This was asked by a few people, wanted to know what we are up to. We have been missionaries in Africa since 1983. Before that, I was a pastor in New York. That's where I met my wife, Karen. I'm originally from Minnesota. Went to college and seminary there, and then went on to, yeah, right, I'm from Bethany's territory. That's where I grew up, in Minnesota. And but then after college, seminary, went to New York, met my wife. From there, we went to Africa. And we were there 20 years. And all of our children were born there, these two, and there are two more. In fact, there, if you got one of these coming in, you can see on the back of that, the other two children who aren't here today. And we were there 20 years. Basically doing missions, planting churches, starting Bible schools, doing orphanage work, doing refugee work, the type of work that most missionaries do. After 20 years, everything had been nationalized. There were 1,600 churches, 18 Bible schools, lots of different work amongst refugees here and there. But we had national leadership of everything. And after 20 years, we went back to the States, feeling mission accomplished. When we got back to the States is when God really started speaking to our hearts that the job wasn't done. So we went back again. And since we've gone back, we've been back now 11 years, and we're training the African church to do missions. We do that through mission seminars. We'll go in, we'll have churches of all denominations come together and teach them about unreached people groups. People groups where there is no gospel message, there is no church at all. Training the African church to not just be receivers, but to be givers and to be goers. We also train missionaries. African missionaries that go to the unreached of Africa. We still have 900 unreached people groups in Africa. The unique thing about Tanzania is that Tanzania is a country which is, the outside world looks at it as a Muslim country. We still have 25 unreached people groups in Tanzania, the most south of the Sahara. So we are focused on reaching those people groups, but then also going to North Africa, where the majority of the unreached people groups are. Eric was with us after he came back to the States and did his Bible school and got his master's. He came back and taught for 2 years in those mission seminars and in the mission schools and the Bible schools. Tori is still there with us. Tori works more on the implementation part of it, getting the missionaries. He teaches in the mission school as well, but also works on getting the missionaries started and going and following up with them and helping them get started amongst the unreached people groups. So that's what we do. We work on training and getting missionaries out to the unreached of this world. Pray for us. There are many, many people groups that still need to be reached. And we as a church need to be focused on reaching those people groups. Reaching those people groups that they might hear the glad gospel of Jesus Christ. If you want to know more, we'll have lunch afterwards together. You can ask more questions. And if we're gone, you can ask Eric. He knows a lot about what we do there in East and Central Africa. In our training, we do a lot of training on reaching Muslims. Most of the unreached people groups in Africa are Islamic people groups. One of the things that we are training them is called DMM, which is Discipleship Making Movement. When a new missionary goes to an area which is Islamic, he shows them love, whether that be through a project or whether that would be through just building friendships with people. But it doesn't take long until those Muslims start asking him, "What is it about you? You're different." And then he can explain to them, "I'm a follower of Isa. I am a follower of Jesus." And for those who are interested, then he can start training them, teaching them in what it is to be a follower of Jesus. We show them how they start with the Quran, and then they go to the Bible. The Quran isn't truth, but it can point them to the truth, which is in the Word of God. And it's not so much teaching them, but it's together discovering Jesus through the Word of God. And as they read the Word, we teach them to put it into practice, to do what it says. They're much like Jesus' disciples. Jesus' disciples came along and they saw Jesus, they saw his life, they saw his miracles, didn't they? They heard his teachings. And in one case, we see recorded in Luke chapter 11, it says that Jesus had been off praying, and one of his disciples says to him, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And you remember, Jesus says to them, "This is how you should pray." It's recorded there in Luke chapter 11. It's also recorded in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew kind of puts the teachings of Jesus together in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And we actually memorize the prayer in the Matthew passage more than we do in the Luke passage. But it was just in the ongoing being with Jesus that Jesus taught them how to pray. In it he said, "This is how you should pray." Let's say it together. Well, just the beginning of it. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Okay. That's what we've done here this morning, isn't it? We have worshiped. We have hallowed his name. We have worshipped Him for who He is. We worship Him because He paid it all. Then it goes on and says, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Look at that. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. And you could kind of put an equal sign between those two phrases. Where His kingdom is where His will is being done. Isn't it? Okay. In heaven, it's only His will that's being done. True? The prayer here is that His will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Or we can apply that to ourselves. Lord, let Your kingdom rule in my life. Let Your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. Now, I don't know if you've made any New Year's resolutions yet. You've maybe made one and already broken it. But a good New Year's resolution would be, Lord, this year, may Your will be done in my life. May Your kingdom rule in my life. Now, Eric, your pastor is a missionary kid. I'm a missionary, but I'm a preacher's kid. I was a preacher. My father was a preacher long before I was born. And he's been a preacher all of his life. He's now 90. So I knew of God's love, God's grace, God's goodness, that Jesus paid it all. I knew that before I can remember anything else. I knew that. But I'll have to admit, I spent many years not living in victory, not living in the kingdom, not doing the will of God. You know, the world tells us that real joy is in doing your own thing, don't they? Yeah, that's real joy. Just do your own thing. The church tells us real joy is receiving all that is ours in Christ Jesus. And there's great joy in that, isn't there? But even greater joy is when you and I learn to live in victory, where it's not only being loved, but it's loving Him. Isn't that where real joy is? Real fulfillment? I know for me, I have found a joy in living the Christian life that I never knew. You know, we don't have to live like the book of Judges. The book of Judges is sin, repentance, deliverance, back to sin again, right? Sin, repentance, deliverance. We all live by grace, all of us. None of us get beyond the place where we need God's grace. But you and I can live in a place of victory. I know we can. I have experienced it. And I want to make just three suggestions for this year of how you can live in victory. Number one. If we're going to do the will of God, if we're going to live in victory, we need to get rid of the idea that doing the will of God is following a list of rules or regulations. Much of Christianity is don't do this, don't do that, and don't do something else, right? Now, Jesus came to a very religious world. Very religious. They not only had rules, they had rules about their rules.
Well, I'll let you in on a secret. Jesus was a rule breaker. He started out in the synagogue, but after a while, he was no longer welcome in the synagogue. He was not welcome in church because he did not follow the rules. He didn't. Sometimes we try to do the will of God by following the rules. But Jesus summed it all up. Just two rules. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. If we will do that, we will do the will of God. Won't we? We will live in victory. Just love Him and love other people. But if we're going to do that, we have to get beyond ourselves. Too much of Christianity today is what's in it for me. Isn't it? Go to your typical Christian bookstore and read the titles of what's there. It's all about how can I get more of this and more of that. The truth is, Christianity isn't about you. It's about Him. Isn't it? And it's about other people. Many times the problems that we have in churches are because it's about me. Somebody said something, I didn't like it, I got offended. I started telling everybody else about it, and pretty soon we got division everywhere. Right? But He said in another place, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, He says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. To do the will of God, we have to love God, and we've got to love people. Don't we? So if somebody says something or does something that you don't like, don't talk to somebody else about it. Scripture tells us, go talk to them. That's the person you should talk to, not to get an army together and then go beat up on the person. No. Talk to that person himself. If they said something, did something, go talk to them. That's loving them, isn't it? So first of all, our Muslim seekers, they don't need a whole list of rules. This is what it is to be a Christian. No. They got enough rules already. No Muslim. They got tons of rules. They're not going to trade their rules for your rules. They don't need that. They need to know a God of love. And we need to love God and love each other, don't we? If we'll do that, we will do the will of God. Number two, we need to get past the idea that doing the will of God is something mystical, ethereal, something that we have to strive to find it. When we talk about the will of God, most of us are thinking about what is God's ultimate will for my life, right? Am I supposed to be a missionary? Am I supposed to be a pastor? Am I supposed to be a teacher? What is it? What is God's will for my life? But it's always something futuristic, something out there. And most people never find God's will because it's something out there rather than something that we do today. But if you will get up today and do God's will, and tomorrow, 50 years from now, you will be in the center of God's will. Won't you? Because you did it. Don't look at it as something out there that you're striving to attain to. Just do what God's called you to do today. Do it again tomorrow. And you'll find yourself in the center of God's will. Thirdly and lastly, we need to start reading our Bibles differently. Don't read your Bible just to get understanding. I know faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But we need to read the Bible not just for understanding, but we need to read the Bible for action. There is so much in Scripture that demands response, demands doing something. But we read it and we just read on by it, don't we? Many of the things, especially in the Gospels, the things that Jesus says or the things that Jesus does, we read them and then we reinterpret them to fit our situation. We don't let the Word of God speak for itself. I challenge you. Read the Word and then allow it to speak for itself and do what it says. That's what we teach our Muslim seekers, our Muslim converts to do. Read it, and if it says to do it, do it. The amazing thing. They will read about someone being healed. They're not even a believer yet. And they will pray for somebody, and that person will get healed. Don't ask me all the theological ramifications of it, but they do it. And it works. You and I need to read it, and we need to do it. What will be the result of that? Three things. Number one, growth. We don't grow by what we know. We grow by what we do. We don't grow by what we know. We grow by what we do. Bethany just came from Minnesota. She was there for the grand entry of her nephew, Henry. Now, when she left, they had great rejoicing. Christmas Day, this little guy was born. Okay? Now, if they go back to Minnesota, that was a great rejoicing. But if they go back to Minnesota a year from now, and he's still the same size, it won't be rejoicing, it'll be a prayer request, won't it? We need to grow. And as we put it into practice, you and I will grow. Secondly, joy. Nothing brings joy like growth. When you see yourself growing in Christ Jesus, doing the will of God, you will find a joy in your Christian life like you have never seen. Thirdly, opportunity. Our Muslim seekers, when they make a commitment to follow Christ, we tell them, don't go broadcast that you are now a Christian. It's a very practical reason, because if you broadcast it, most of them wouldn't live past that day. So we don't tell them to broadcast it. But I think many times, as Christians, we broadcast that we are Christians, but we don't live out that we are Christians. Sometimes we can be more like politicians. A lot of talk and not much action. True? It reminds me of Paul and Silas. Remember when they hear the Macedonian call? And they obey and they go? When they get there, the result is they see a young lady who is demon-possessed. She's delivered. And they are beaten and thrown in prison. Now, doing God's will doesn't always turn out the way we expect it to. Some people say the safest place is in the center of God's will. That's true. As long as you have eternal eyes and not temporal eyes. In the meantime, it can sometimes be a bit of suffering. But the amazing thing is this. They do the two things Jesus says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. They are worshiping Him in that prison, aren't they? And then love your neighbor as yourself. There's an earthquake. The doors are open. They are free to flee. but they don't. They go to that jailer, probably the one who beat them, and says, they say to him, no, don't kill yourself. We're all here. They showed love to their enemy. When we do that, people will notice, won't they? This church will grow as we all do the will of God. As we live in victory, people will see Jesus in us, won't they? And they will want what you've got. That Philippian jailer, what does he say? He says to them, what must I do to be saved? They haven't preached to them. They haven't told them he needs to be saved. He has seen in them Jesus. When we love God and we love people, they'll see it. We don't have to broadcast it. They'll start asking you, what is it that you've got? There's something about you that's different. We're used to telling people you need to get saved. But if we will do His will, if we will live in victory, they will be asking us, what must I do to be saved? Maybe they won't use that language, but they'll say, what is it about you? You're different. I need what you've got. This is a new year. It's a new year. It's a new year to have new beginnings. And I pray that in this year, you will find victory in living in the kingdom. That you will do the will of God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbors. You will find joy like you have not known. You know, we change by what we do, not by what we know. So I want you to do something this week. And as you do it, the Lord will remind you of what you heard today. This week, when you do your devotions, when you read the Word. Many times we just read the Word, it's like one thing on our to-do list. You know, read the Word, clean the garage, do the laundry. It's on the to-do list. But this week, when you read the Word, read it until you get to something that it asks you to do. Then, close your Bible, put it aside, and do it. Tomorrow, pick up the Word from where you left off, read it again. Until you get to something that it tells you to do. Put it aside again. And then do it. And you will have a week that's a whole lot different than last week. Won't you? Because you will be doing the will of God. You will be living in victory. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for all that is ours in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the privilege that we have of being called yours. Father, that our sins, not in part but the whole, have been nailed to the cross. Thank you that you have paid it all. And we can know that it is well with our soul. Father, I pray for each one of us here. I pray, Father, that we would not just be people who have received your great goodness, but, Father, in this year, we would live to please you. Father, our desire is to love you and to love those around us. Father, help us to live different in this year. Father, thank you that we can live in victory. I pray for each one here, Father, as they read the Word this week. Father, that we would read it and that we would do it. And Father, that we would grow in You in this year. We would find new joy and new fulfillment in living in the kingdom. In Your name, amen.
Thank you. Praise God. Well, myself and the pastoral support team will be up here to pray with anyone who needs it. Thank you all so much for coming out for service this morning. And we'll see you guys downstairs. Let me just pray a blessing upon you guys before we go. God, I pray that You would just bless this congregation. God, I pray that You would give us sweet times of fellowship with You, Lord, throughout this week. God, as we seek You in Your word. God, I pray that You would help us to bring moldable hearts to the Bible. I pray that we wouldn't read the Bible in order to justify ourselves, God. But I pray that when we read Your word, that we would be convicted. And God, that Your Holy Spirit would help us to change, would help us to act, would help us to implement the things that we see there, God. I pray that we would not be, as James says, just hearers of the word, God, but that we would be doers. Lord, that when it says to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us, God, I pray that we would actually put that into practice and that it wouldn't just be a bumper sticker, Lord, but that we would be people who love even those who hate us, God. People who serve even those who cannot give back. People who lend without thinking about return, Lord. And God, people who store up for ourselves treasures, not here on earth, where moth and rust destroy, God, but treasure for the next life, God. That we would be storing up for ourselves treasure in heaven. Eternal treasure, God. Change us and transform us, we pray. Bless this congregation. Bless this body, Lord. Bless them throughout the week. Whatever they end up doing, God. Whoever they end up coming into contact with, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would move through them and flow out of them, God. In Your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.